What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loudat, what do you got?
So we were just talking about the Dodgers, and I just wanted to share with you guys that they just unveiled the second phase of Dream Fields complex in Compton. So this happened on Saturday, and our very own legend Kershaw was in attendance. So if you guys don't know, children participated at this at the event. It has I think there's sorry, I lost my place here. They have it's oh my god, sorry, this thing keeps kicking me out. I apologize. We don't have printers here yet. So it's the park is home to the Jackie Robinson Stadium and the Kershaw's Challenge Training and Fitness Zone. So it's for the youth here in Compton.
That's awesome. Great job. I mean, listen, Major League Baseball in general needs to do a much better job of, like, helping out African-American communities and I would say communities in general where, you know, you have lower-income communities because that, like, baseball in this country, like, if you think about it, the representation, the black players in this, in Major League Baseball, a lot of them are from other countries. They're not from the U.S. And I believe the African-American number in Major League Baseball right now, as far as, like, percentage, is, like, 6% or something like that, 5 or 6%, which is just ridiculous. Like, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, easily, like, 20% of Major League Baseball was African-American. It just makes... It's insane to me that, that number has dropped so precipitously over a span of 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, so it makes all the sense in the world for the Dodgers to go into the, and I'm putting this in quotes, into the inner city and try and cultivate a passion for the game. Not necessarily because you're trying to just exclusively find more African-American baseball players in the future, but just cultivate a passion for the game in the community. And that is something that not only do you have fewer black players, but I also think you just have fewer black Americans, I think. I mean, this is not like some data that I've got, but just that are passionate about baseball. So cultivating a passion for the game is an important thing to do. And credit to the Dodgers for going into the inner city to do it.
Hey, guys, I got a staggering stat for you guys. In 1956, Jackie Robinson's final years in the majors, African-Americans made up 6.7% of the major league rosters. At the start of the 2020 season, that number was at 7.8%. So just barely anything more.
Right, and it peaked in the 70s and 80s at about 20%.
Yeah, people like Eddie Murray out there and Andre Dawson.
My childhood hero.
My childhood hero was Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson and Dave Winfield, when these two guys played for the Yankees, they were like, when I was a little kid, those were my go-to guys. And then, you got probably not, pretty much in the same era, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they had Dave Parker and Willie Stargell. I mean, these guys were superstars.
Yeah.
You know? Game has changed. And
by the way, Ricky Henderson is another player that you didn't mention. You know, Frank Thomas, Tony Gwynn, right? Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry. I think you mentioned Willie Stargell, right? Like there's...
Do you guys say Junior?
Oh, right. Ken Griffey Jr., obviously. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, the game, the demographics of baseball have changed so significantly. I look, if you're trying to figure out, like, why is that, it's because baseball, especially at the youth level, and I'm not talking
baseball became a country club sport. It used to be a play with a stick and a rocks game when I was a little kid. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't a country club sport. It's become that. And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you an example.
George, like all these travel teams that cost $1 billion to play on.
You're going to find this out when your son gets a little bit older, but the money that goes into the money that is needed to play club baseball, not little league baseball. I'm talking about like the kids that by the time they're 12, 13, 14 are already starting to become a one sport athlete and they're becoming a specialist in baseball and the amount of travel it takes to get around the country and be seen in front of all these scouts. I mean, I can't tell you how many weekends I traveled all throughout Southern California with my son's travel baseball team. Because in my mind, I was like, you know what? He's probably going to play college baseball. And then by about ninth grade, I was like, you know what? He's not very good at all, and I've been fooling myself. And so it just takes so much money. It does. It takes so much. I have a poor guy. It takes so much money to play club baseball, travel baseball.
It's expensive, yes.
Yeah, I know.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So, Doc Rivers, Funchy, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong on this story.
Yes, Doc Rivers.
He has said he's not interested in the Lakers job. His name was floated around for a second. And that he also, much like Quinn Snyder, correct me if I'm wrong, has said he did not like the way that Vogel was treated at the end.
You're correct.
By the way, right now, Philadelphia is leading Toronto 74-54 with 7:40 to go here in the third quarter. So yeah. For all the talk about, you know, Doc Rivers is going to get fired, look, it's early in the playoffs. But still, his team's looking pretty good right now, at least today. The notion that Doc Rivers is going to just become the Lakers coach, and listen, George, I don't know how much we should put into this, but coaches around the league who are saying they don't like the way the Lakers treated Vogel, that is, I think there's something there, because if you're thinking about, hey, we want to get this guy, and this guy's like, well, hey, it's the Lakers, it's LeBron, it's LA, it's the history of the organization, it all sounds good, and then you're like, you know, I don't like the way they did my colleague, and I feel like if they did that to him, that's the way they'll do me, so I'm not so into this job. I think there's something to that. What do you think?
I think they're going to have some challenges finding someone to take the job.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an incredible thing? You have the greatest player of his generation and one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. And you have one of the organizations, you use this phrase all the time, crown jewel of its league. You've got the market, you've got the facility, you've got the star player, you've got all the history and tradition, you've got all of these things that seem to look good on paper, and yet in reality, this job is, people aren't lining up and breaking down the door to want to be the next coach of the Lakers. That's amazing. That is truly incredible. And by the way, it's not even that shocking when you consider that Frank Vogel was hardly the first choice when he got the job 3+ years ago. Mm-hmm. Man, that is amazing. Because, you know, in most sports, when any head coaching job is available, I mean, you'll do anything you can to be a head coach. You'll take the Cincinnati Bengals head coaching job and really believe you can turn them into a Super Bowl competitor.
But I tried to tell people from the beginning when that story came out about Doc Rivers and Nick Nurse and Quinn Snyder, I'm like, none of those guys are going to take the job, number one. Well, for a multitude of reasons, okay? Number one, you have to give up compensation to get them. They're all under contract, which the Lakers don't have. So that's a non-starter already. There's no way Utah or Philly or Toronto is doing the Lakers any favors. Like, what are we talking about here?
Right. Well, listen, that to me is why it's going to be so hard to get rid of Russell Westbrook, because somebody somewhere is going to be like, do we really want to do this? Does this help the Lakers? If the answer is yes, let's not do it.
Right, but there's also teams looking to correct their books. That's a lot easier. That makes more sense for a team to do. Take Russell Westbrook and either buy him out or just play him for one season, and then you've cleaned your books and you've taken off, you know, probably in other teams' cases, because the guys you're looking at that are being traded for Russell Westbrook have at least 2-3 years or more on their deal. So you're talking about, you know, $100, $200 million potentially. You're wiping off your accounting balances.
You just said it really, really well. Nobody in all likelihood is trading for Russell Westbrook because they think he can help them win, per se.
It's an accounting situation.
Exactly. They're trading for Russell Westbrook so that they can clean up their own books. By the way, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll put up with his nonsense for one season, and then we'll get rid of him. And then when we get rid of him, and we've already gotten rid of those guys, now we're in a much better position financially. Now we can go start spending money the way we want to. That is just so unbelievable that's what this has come down to. Yeah?
Yeah, it's the way it works sometimes. So, anyway. But the way that Vogel was treated, the coaches' community is small, man. Like, that's the reality of it, okay? And you may say that the players didn't respect Frank or whatever. I would disagree with that. I think that Frank was fine with them until the ship, you know, went south. And again, it's not that he didn't get respect. It's just ultimately he didn't have control of a roster that didn't fit what he did best. And they, you know, he saw that coming a mile away. But I don't think it was a matter of respect. I feel like that's not the right way to phrase it. But
well, let me ask you this. You think
the
Russell
coaches
Westbrook
in the community,
him?
What's that?
You think Russell Westbrook respected him?
I think Russell Westbrook didn't like him at all because Frank stood up to him and said, no, bro, you're not doing what you need to do. So, I mean, whether he respected him or not, Frank made the right call there, didn't he?
Oh, 100% he made the right call. In fact,
so I would say that players in the locker room respected Frank because he made the right call. You think players are blind to what Russ's strengths and weaknesses are?
No, but I just think that in the final part of the season, when there's no AD and LeBron is hurt and Russ is kind of a malcontent, that, you know, it's just all these young guys that are just trying to hang on for a job. You know, so I don't really know how much more Frank Vogel could have really done given the circumstances that he was
anyway,
facing.
But anyway, my point is this, dude, is that the coaching community respects him. Frank Vogel coached an Indiana team that had no business getting to two conference finals, getting to the conference finals, okay? With a really young Paul George and a bunch of, like, good but not great players, and took LeBron, Wade, and Bosh to the brink a couple of times, okay? They faced them three times in the playoffs. So there's that. And then he won a championship with the Lakers. Frank's a good coach. And the coaches know if you're a good coach. So when Quinn Snyder and Doc Rivers are like, nah, not interested, didn't like what they did to Frank, I don't think that that's like a coincidence.
Oh, I don't think so at all either. And it's not, listen, they may respect Frank, and I'm sure that they probably do all have a healthy respect for one another, but it could have been anybody that was the coach of the Lakers that the organization doesn't have the professional courtesy to at least tell him, and it's all being put out there on Twitter before he is officially told. That just doesn't sit well with coaches, especially those that are potential candidates for the job. I understand why they would not be turned on and why they are currently turned off by the job. I get it.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, this is a big problem for them.
This is this coaching search, this is going to be real interesting to see what happens and to see who gets interviewed and who is being considered. This is going to make it that much more dramatic, the stuff we're talking about right now. I'm curious.
I don't know where the Lakers are going to go. That's why I'm saying Juwan Howard. That makes sense. I'm telling you, it makes sense.
Yeah, unless you're Juwan Howard.
Well, I'm telling you it makes sense because if you're the Lakers, you need to sell Juwan Howard on it because he's got a relationship with Pelinka, he's got a relationship with LeBron, and at the very least, that buys you some time, right? And honestly, Juwan Howard is a guy that can bridge two gaps, right? He can get you through, in theory, the LeBron era. And then, if you like him, he then bridges you to the next era, whatever that era is going to be.
Yeah, I was curious to hear what the next era was going to be.
Know what that is, but he can... Clearly, he's okay coaching young players, so that next era would probably include some variation of that.
Yeah, well... It is not going to be the AD era. I mean, when the LeBron era is over and when the AD contract expires, yeah. If he makes it that far, there will not be the handoff, you know, that we all thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. No, 100%. All right, coming up next, if you're a football fan, I got some news for you that you may or may not like depending on what it is you like or how it is you like to consume the NFL product. We'll get to that in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Do it, George.
Informer. This is a good jam right here. Do you like the reggaeton, Cap?
I like the whole thing you got going on right now. I like all the sound effects.
I think it boom boom down.
Yeah.
Is this a remix of Snow Informer?
Yes.
Or just sampled?
Yeah, it's just like a Spanish version of it.
Underrated song.
Oh, excellent song. I mean, this one thought, is actually better than the original, though, I feel like.
It's funny, because when you started singing Informer, I was like, I don't hear that. Like, I wonder if we're talking about the same. And then all of a sudden it hit with Informer. I said, boom, boom, down. You know that song, Funch?
I do know that song.
Did you know the lyrics I just sang?
A little bit, but not really. Right.
Not really? No. You guys want to hear a crazy story?
Go ahead. Tell us about something ridiculous that happened to you.
No, this isn't really ridiculous. This is actually crazy, George. This is one of those things where you file it in the parents like it never ends. There's always something going on when you have kids. You ready for this?
Oh, boy. Here we
go. Oh, you're going to. This is a crazy story. Now, who here loves dogs?
I
do.
Everybody okay. loves dogs.
Funch loves dogs. Okay.
We all do, except you.
We've questioned you whether you love your dog.
Well, I just don't. Funch, let me ask you a question. If your dog falls and needs $7,000 worth of back surgery,
ooh, wow.
What are you doing?
I think I'm.
No, no, but the difference is you absolutely can afford a $7,000 back surgery.
No, I don't know, man. I got four kids. That's the issue.
No, no, no. You can afford it. Don't do that.
Well, I mean, you say that, but, you know, listen, I'm just
like,
telling
I know
you.
Your finances. I totally
right, I got four
don't.
Kids, two of them are in college.
You put it on a credit card, you're fine.
Well, anyway, listen, so I love dogs, right? I really do. I love dogs. My daughter, my 15-year-old, Julia, she loves dogs, and she's like the happiest kid you've ever met in your life, and she's my favorite of my four kids. And
oof.
Oh, what?
Not supposed
no, he's
to,
said this before.
I know,
not
but you're never supposed to, like, admit that.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. I mean,
well, I'll admit it. Like, right now, Arya is definitely my favorite child of the two.
Right. I mean, Mateo's
right, I like
probably
right
like a
now.
Pain in the tuchus, you know?
I mean, huge pain in the tuchus.
Right.
He's so cute, though.
So Julia is my favorite kid of my four. And you know, when my 18-year-old goes off to college in August, it's just going to be she and I. I mean, the two of us are going to be empty nesters together, you know? So my daughter goes to Coachella this weekend, George. And she's sending me pictures all weekend. She's having the best time of her life. She's with her girlfriend and her girlfriend's mom, and they're staying at this lady's house out in the desert. That she's like, yeah, you guys can come all stay here. And she has this German Shepherd, right? And my daughter Julia loves this dog. She's hugging up on this dog all weekend. The dog's licking her in the face. I mean, just you know, just a lovey dog, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday afternoon, they're leaving. To leave Coachella. They're packing the car. They're going to go to the final show. Then they're going to get in their car and they're going to drive home. Julia walks up to the dog to give the dog a hug. She hugs the dog and the dog goes dog on her. The dog, the German Shepherd, bit her. Dude.
And this is your friend's dog.
This is she went out there with her best friend, whose mom I know, and right. They were staying at mom's friend's place out in the desert.
Right.
The German Shepherd, George.
The German Shepherd is their dog, the friend's
dog.
It
is their dog.
Yeah.
The German Shepherd bites Julia in the arms. Not like bite, like get off of me bite. Like
attack.
Like
right.
attack. Totally. And the next thing I know, I'm getting a call because they're in the emergency room. Because the dog, I'm not joking, George, if I sent you the picture of her arm, you would be absolutely shocked at the amount of damage that was done to her arm. 10 stitches on one side,
I mean,
stitches
I believe
on the other side, then stitches on the other arm. The dog went crazy. You know, and it's not the dog's fault necessarily, right? I mean, she just wanted to give the dog love, and the dog, for whatever reason, just wasn't
felt
feeling
that
it.
Felt that the dog, right, that this person was coming to perhaps harm him. Or
right.
Her, right.
And,
yeah.
and even after a weekend with the dog and loving the dog and the dog licking her face and everything else, the dog went dog. And
right.
She was in the hospital yesterday afternoon for hours getting, first they had to do x-rays to make sure there were no broken bones, x-rays to make sure that there were no teeth from the dog inside of her arm. And
right.
Then ultimately they had to stitch up her arm, both of her arms, you know? So, at the commercial break, she's like upstairs, like, Dad, I'm hurting. I need ibuprofen. I need water. I mean, the kid is her arm is all like swollen and she can't really move her fingers.
Brutal.
And she's
yeah.
hurting really, really bad.
Yeah.
So here's my question for everybody. OK.
Yeah.
So to me, this is an accident, right? It happens.
Yeah.
Total
of
accident.
Course.
Right.
Yes.
But of course, the person whose house it was and whose dog it was, what do you think she's worried about?
A lawsuit.
Right. Now, I'm not a litigious person per se. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, my first thought wasn't like, well, we'll sue the hell out of them and we'll get our money. Like, that was all my thought was, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because here's what I said to my daughter. I said, hey, you got bit by this dog. You're in the emergency room. I'm talking to the doctors. She needs stitches. Her arm. I mean, dude, if I showed you this picture, you would not believe it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a German Shepherd. It's a huge dog. I believe it. Yeah.
So here's what I say to my daughter. I go, so when you get out of the emergency room, you guys are just going to pack up and drive home, right? You know what her answer was?
No, hell
no.
We're
going to see Doja Cat.
Right.
I'm like,
I saw Doja Cat recently. I'm telling you, she's good.
Yeah.
So, although I liked Megan Thee Stallion way better.
Oh, really?
I saw them both. I was at the Fanatics Super Bowl party. You know Fanatics, the apparel company?
Yep.
So I went to that party, and I saw Jeannie Buss as I was walking in. She was walking out. And yeah, I saw Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion. They're both good, but I liked Megan Thee Stallion more.
Okay, so here's my question for you.
Yeah.
What do you do from here? Do you just
How old
say,
is Julia?
She's 15.
I mean, so what did you... Oh, you're asking me what I would have done in that situation?
Yeah, like, so my question is, you know, listen, again, everybody's immediate thought is, well, what are you going to do? Are you gonna sue the homeowner? Are you going to sue the dog owner? Because, listen, I figure if I'm the dog owner, I'm, like, worried, like, oh, my God, you know, this is a German Shepherd. This dog could be considered dangerous.
So I ask her, number one, how are you feeling? Did you go out there or did you just, like,
I did not go out there. I monitored from afar because I had the mom who was the guardian for the weekend, taking
was
care of
her. Was there with them. Right.
And she felt terrible, and the owner of the house and the dog felt terrible. And, you know, Julia was crying. She's like, it's my fault. I'm like, it's not your
fault. So
you're anybody's
fault. The mom who is the woman you know, is not the owner of the house.
Correct. And she's not
the owner
of the
house
dog.
Is a friend of the mom's.
Yes.
So the owner of the house is not someone you actually know.
Yes.
Okay. I probably would just ask Julia, hey, are you feeling okay? Like, when she says, no, hell no, I want to go see Doja Cat, I'm like, well, wait, are you okay? Like, are you physically okay enough to do that?
Right.
And I would want to be on the phone with the doctor and ask the doctor, hey, so my daughter wants to do this, you know, from a medical standpoint, like, is she going to be okay if she goes to this concert? Like, how do you feel as a medical professional? I'm not telling you. I just simply want to know based on that alone. That would probably be my first conversation.
Yeah, so she went to Doja Cat, and then she drove home last night, and she got up and went to school this morning, and by the middle of the afternoon, she's like, Dad, I am hurting really bad. I need you to come get me. My biggest concern is, like, any sort of nerve damage to her arm, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And all she's talking about is she has a track meet coming up this weekend that she says she's going to be fine, she's going to be ready to go. I'm like, yeah, let's kind of see how the week plays out, you know? But again, like, right away, I've told a couple people this today, and they're like, are you going to sue? I'm like, am I going to sue? I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't gotten that far. I'm not, like, my first instinct isn't like, I'm suing you. Your dog bit my kid. My kid's in the emergency room. Bunch of stitches, you know, who knows what kind of, you know, damage it might do to her, you know, emotionally. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not thinking suing. I'm thinking about her health.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's where your brain's got to be.
What do I do, Funch? You got four dogs. What do I do?
It's so hard for me to just, you know, sue someone with a dog because I know a dog can go dog on anyone, you know?
Well, and that is right. That is the whole point.
It's an animal. It's still an animal.
It's an animal.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how good of it is a friend to you?
I don't even know them.
Okay. Well,
No. The lady who's the
lady of the dog owner.
How tight are you guys with them?
So the dog owner, I don't know.
Right.
But the woman who took my daughter to Coachella, they're, you know, she's an acquaintance, and her daughter and my daughter are BFFs. They're like little, you know, they're like sisters.
Okay, then that complicates things.
Yeah, so if there's a lawsuit, it might complicate the relationship, huh?
Of course. Naturally. Naturally it would, you know? I'm not thinking lawsuit.
I mean, listen, if she's okay, I would just move on. That's just me, but I'm not telling you what to do.
No, but that's what my plan would be. I mean, as long as she's fine, and she can still use her arm, and she can type, and she can write, and she can hand off a baton when she's running track. I mean, like, it happens.
Well, what does the doctor say?
The doctor said it's, you know, she's gonna be in pain. She's gonna be swollen. This is not going away tomorrow. You know, George, I'm telling you, you cannot believe.
No, I can. I believe it. I've seen it. I had a dog. We had a dog, a rescue dog, that bit Aria when she was a baby in the face because the dog was food aggressive. A piece of meat fell at the exact same time from the counter. She was crawling to grab it. Dog attacked her. So, I mean, and bit her in the face. She still has, like, if you look at her eyes, she has a little small scar underneath where her orbital bone is. So, I mean, I get it. Like, and her face was super swollen. And, you know, we had to deal with the dog. You know what I'm saying? At that point, not deal with the dog. Like, you know, we didn't euthanize him or that. We gave him to someone. Like, we told the rescue, like, hey, this is the situation. You know, the dog is obviously food aggressive. We can't have him around a baby, you know? So we sent him back to the rescue, you know? We tried to rescue the dog, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I've been there. Like, I get it. And it's way worse with a baby who can't talk, you know?
Yeah.
So, and in the face, where there needed to be stitches on her cheek and on her orbital bone and stuff like that. So, yeah, like, I get it. It's a little different because I don't have to sue anyone, but, you know, we had the dog in our possession. But if she's okay, and, like, again, I would just be talking to the doctor. Like, what's the timeline of recovery? What is the next step here? Like, what, you know, those things would be the conversations I would be having.
Yeah. What potential damage or you know, what potential after effects are there from something like this? But, George, when they sent me this picture of her arm, I said to the mom, I go, what is that? And she's like, well, that's her. I'm trying to remember what word she used, fascia or I don't know, man. George, it was so wide open, this cut. And you could see into her arm, and there was all this gross, gnarly stuff, like, all around. Like, I was just shocked that this happened with it. And again, it wasn't like a dog bite where it's like, get off of me.
No, it was a full-blown attack.
Yeah. Gosh.
I would just be in touch with the doctor, is what I would say.
Yeah.
And then and see what the doctor says.
I know the initial response that I get from people is, are you gonna sue him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, our pal Toby Hicks here, comedian extraordinaire, says that you should sue for medical bills and potential bills, if anything else. That they would sue you in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I guess.
But I would play it out like I just want to make sure. I would just be talking to the doctor regularly to see what the situation is and what the potential situation could be moving forward.
Yeah, my first thought is, dude, you got to, like, it's an accident. It happened, you know? It thankfully was not life and death, and I don't think there's anything major. I hope there's no major damage, but, man, George, it's scary. You know, this is one of those things where when you have kids, just every day, you just never know when something might happen. You know, here I was like, look at my daughters. I'm so proud of these two girls. They're hanging out together at Coachella. One's 18, yeah. One's 15. They're having the time of their lives. They stayed up Friday night till 11:30 at night to go see Harry Styles. You know, watermelon sugar high. Yeah, Harry, woo! You know, and I'm like, this is so cool. And I was having terrible FOMO all weekend. Like, gosh, why didn't I go? And I should have gone. I've never been to Coachella. And then Sunday afternoon, I get the call, the crying. It's like, what's wrong? What's up? What's wrong? Because as a dad, when you hear a girl crying on the other end of the phone, you're like, what's wrong? What's happening? Everything okay? And then this. So, I don't know. My first instinct is not to sue, though. I can say that.
I get it. All right, let's hit, you know, hard transition here. Let's hit big deal or no deal. This clearly a big deal, by the way.
Big deal. Very big.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, Fungi, what do we got?
All right, Shams Charania is reporting that Ben Simmons will make his debut for the Brooklyn Nets within this next week. Ben, who came in a James Harden deal, hasn't played one game yet for the Nets. Nets just lost game one yesterday on a Jason Tatum buzzer beater and already down 0-1 in the series against the Celtics. Big deal or no deal that Ben Simmons is finally coming back to rescue the Nets and play.
To rescue them, huh? What do you say, George? Big deal or no deal?
I missed that real quick. I'm sorry, I cut out.
Oh, well, Shams is reporting that Ben Simmons is going to make his debut this week. Big deal, no deal.
Oh, it is a big deal. I mean, the Nets need somebody that can defend Jason Tatum. And Ben Simmons is a top three defender in the NBA. So at the very least, we know he can do that if he's healthy.
I'm going to, just for the sake of going on the other side here for a second, I'm going to go no deal. And here's why I'm going to say it. I have very low expectations of what he's going to bring to the table. Guy hasn't played in a year. So your first game is going to be in the playoffs? I just don't have great expectations that he's going to be a major contributor. If I'm proven way wrong, then it is a big deal.
I'm a basketball junkie, and I know Ben Simmons' game and everything, but I think I'm with you, Cap. I don't know what he's going to bring. I don't even know if he has anything right now, you know, to give.
I mean, that was like the conversation last week with the Clippers around Kawhi. Like, is Kawhi healthy? Is he saying he can't play? And the Clippers are saying that he's healthy enough to play. But I'm just thinking to myself, guy's been out all year. There have been 82 regular season games. There were, I don't know, 10 or 12, whatever it is, in the preseason. There had been 100 games played, and he hadn't played in any of them.
Yeah, and we always hear a report that he's going to come back. He's going to come back this week or this, you know, this game or whatever, but he's never came back. And we don't know. You know, he might be out of shape. No, you don't know.
I mean, guys like Paul George come back and they haven't played in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, but they had played earlier. Or Anthony Davis comes back and scores 28 points and he's out for all this time, but he had played earlier. I don't know. I don't know if I think Ben Simmons is going to be able to do very much. Although maybe he'll shock us. Certainly, those of us that have doubts.
I mean, I'm not sitting here expecting him to do much on offense, but I mean, he can defend. If he can run, he can defend.
By the way, that play Jason Tatum made at the end of the game against the Nets, that layup,
yeah.
The spin, it was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
It was. It really was. It was.
What
really
a
nice
game. I mean, even Kyrie, who I am not a big Kyrie fan at all, but him shooting the double birds to the fans and then going to the podium afterwards, like, yeah,
also,
they're giving
that
me
was
this
great.
Yeah, they're giving me this energy.
Listen,
I
have been
very energy.
I have been very critical of Kyrie Irving on a number of fronts, but I'm with him on this, with the Boston situation. I'm with him. And if he gets fined, so what? But I'm absolutely 100% with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is right. There are certain crowds, that one and Utah specifically, can be surly. Let's just call them that. those crowds get a little more surly than maybe some of the others in the NBA. And look, I get it. I saw Shaq and Kenny and Charles talking about, you got to be above it. Yeah, I get that. Like, I'm sure, you know. 9 times out of 10 or more, probably, he's above it, but he's dealing with some stuff with that particular fan base, and that's it, you know? And there are just certain places that are tough to play. Ask Michael Jordan what it was like to play in Utah. You know, ask all these guys. Like, they'll all tell you how tough it is. We're watching Winning Time, how tough it's been in Boston to play in Boston for decades. You know, there's just certain places that you're going to get it more. Than other places. Indiana was one of those places in the 90s. If you watched Winning Time with Reggie Miller and the Knicks players talking about that and Spike Lee, there's just certain arenas and places that can get a little excited, let's call it. So, yeah.
All right, guys, next one. After 2 years of being off the menu, one of the most beloved fast food items is making a return, as Taco Bell just announced on Twitter earlier today that the Mexican pizza will return on May 19th. Now, you know, talking about Doja Cat a little bit earlier, Doja Cat actually was the first who announced the Mexican pizza return during her set yesterday at Coachella.
Come on, really?
Yeah, she stopped midway during her set and said Mexican pizza is coming back.
I didn't know that.
Yes, dude. So, big deal, no deal that the Mexican pizza is returning, Cap.
For me, it's no deal because I'm not a Taco Bell person. I can't even remember the last time I've been to Taco Bell. In fact, I can't even remember the last time I've passed a Taco Bell. I think maybe the last time I got Taco Bell, I was up in Big Bear, and I got myself like a dozen crunchy taco thing. I think I ate them all, but... Yeah, I'm not into Taco Bell. It's not one of my top stops in fast food. So for me, the Mexican pizza is no deal.
Such a beloved item, a cult item, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
No deal for me either, to be honest with you. I am also not a Taco Bell person. Occasionally, and when I mean occasionally, like once or twice a year, maybe. That's even that seems again like a stretch, and. Yeah, I don't even know if I've ever had a Mexican pizza, to be honest with you.
So good, so good. One of my fiance's favorite foods, actually. She's so happy that it's coming back. She's okay, even more happy about this than our wedding.
We're happy for future Mrs. Funchy.
Yeah, she's more happier about this than our wedding. I'll say that.
Wow. Yeah. That might be a problem, but I want to check in on that.
Is there any fast food item that you can't...
I question our Mexican card.
Go home. Is there any fast food item that you just absolutely love, you can't live without?
Huh, that's a great question. Probably no at this stage of my life because I don't eat a lot of fast food anymore. But, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, look, I think, and my kids do it now too. Like, when I was a kid, like little kid, I used to love McDonald's chicken nuggets. And, you know, my kids love chicken nuggets. That they want a Happy Meal.
I do too, and I refuse to see Supersize Me because of it.
Yeah, probably is not a good idea for you. But, yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I loved chicken nuggets. Even as an adult, I loved chicken nuggets because it was easy to pop and just eat.
I think I just like the sauces more.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if I do eat fast food, I probably am selective. It's like Popeyes or...
chicken sandwich?
Yeah, chicken sandwich from Popeyes. Or, like, maybe occasionally Chick-fil-A, but I feel like Chick-fil-A is also super, like, long. The lines are long. I've never tried Raising Cane's. There's one right by me in Torrance, and the line is always so long.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm just like, bro, I don't got 20 minutes to wait for chicken tenders. Nah. You know, just like, honestly, it's why I don't go to In-N-Out more, because I also don't have 20 or 30 minutes to wait in the line there either.
Yeah, I've been on a little bit. I hate to admit this, but I think I said it to you guys last week. I'm on a little bit of a Chick-fil-A run right now where I will, like, maybe once a week, I'm like, gosh, I don't know what I want to eat, and I want something kind of fast, but to your point, George, the lines can be really long. But a spicy chicken deluxe sandwich with extra pickles from Chick-fil-A is a bomb sandwich.
When I was a kid, I liked Wendy's chicken sandwiches, but well before Chick-fil-A and all that stuff became in vogue, I used to like Wendy's chicken sandwiches back
then.
Why is
Chick-fil-A so in vogue now? I mean, I can remember in the late 80s, I was working in the mall at the Chess King, rocking some Z Cavaricci's, by the way. Okay, that's right. Chess King. That's what I said, Funch. That's right. You know the store?
Of course I do.
Then you know I was styling and profiling Ric Flair style. You know what I'm saying? Listen, Chick-fil-A was in the mall in the 80s. Why is it Chick-fil-A so much bigger of a deal today than it was back then? Can somebody explain to me what has happened?
I don't know. It just people like chicken. And they have really funny commercials, right? Or they good branding with the cows in the commercial.
You know what I hate about Chick-fil-A? That it's closed on Sunday. That's the most day I want it.
Same. Always. It's like, I want Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
They're
Sunday.
A very religious company. And, well, they have some other beliefs that, you know, are, well, you know, not beliefs I have, but nonetheless, people compartmentalize stuff all the time, so I'm not necessarily discrediting them if you like them or not.
Some people,
and I eat them too. So
some people will boycott because of political opinions.
Yeah,
not me.
And that's everyone's entitled to this stuff.
Yeah,
like,
not me.
Care.
Not me. Like I'm boycotting Will Smith, but not Chick-fil-A.
Right, exactly. And that's your prerogative, as Bobby Brown once said. I'm not telling you how to live. Anyway, that is big deal or no deal. All right, we're going to break for 2 minutes. And then coming up next, I teased like 25 minutes ago almost, that if you're an NFL fan, you better get ready for some big changes. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. My wife loves this song.
I like your
Elvis Crespo.
More.
Right? Elvis Crespo?
Elvis Crespo, yep.
Yeah.
Funch, this is a must at your wedding, right?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Love the song.
Oh, yeah. This is a big-time wedding song. I feel
Funch,
like
when is that wedding?
Party.
Would get down to this.
When's the big wedding, Funch?
Memorial Day weekend.
So that's May
28th. Oh, see, that's good if you want to keep people away, though, because Memorial Day weekend is a big like holiday weekend.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of no's right now.
Yeah. That's smart. You saving some money.
That is really smart, bro.
I wasn't doing it on purpose. It was either that weekend or Mother's Day weekend, which is like Mother's Day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
Bésame. Te quiero sentir tus labios. We should let you... We should have given Kaplan the lyrics to this and had him try to sing like karaoke style.
Dude, if you give me the lyrics in Espanol, I will do my best.
Okay, let me do that right now. No.
Yeah, and we can start over.
I will start it over.
Actually, Laura Finden will do it at the end of the segment. How about that?
What's the name of the song? I'll look him up. I'll look up the lyrics here.
I gotcha.
Yeah. No, we'll do it later. We'll do it later.
Give me a shot. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
We will. Relax, bro.
Thank you.
I know you're a big NFL fan.
Yep.
If you're an NFL fan, you better get ready for some changes because the leader in the clubhouse to take over NFL Sunday Ticket is Apple Plus. So what's going to happen here is this. And Apple Plus just did a baseball package. My old pal Katie Nolan is doing that. And a lot of people were complaining about trying to find it and just within the Apple Plus app, right? And trying to watch the baseball. I would imagine there's going to be some of that with the NFL. Now, I think long-term it's the smart play, right? Apple wants to get in live rights, and this is an easy way for them to do it. You know, I am curious. I don't want my guy Siciliano to be out of a gig because I love him. It's my guy.
What about my guy, Scott Hansen?
Well, he does the cable one, so he's fine.
So he's safe?
I would imagine so. So this is what you wanted all this time. You wanted Scott Hansen to win the battle of Sunday Ticket. That's what you wanted all this time.
No, I was an Andrew Siciliano DirecTV Sunday Red Zone guy for a long time. When I switched over from DirecTV to cable, it became Scott Hansen and I on Sundays. So I've got a real affection for Scott Hansen. Now, I love Andrew Siciliano as well, and I hope that Andrew Siciliano goes over to the Apple side of things because he does a great job.
So anyway, I think that that will be a big change because I'll tell you this, and I know I've had this conversation with Christopher before. He's a little worried because he buys Sunday Ticket for his dad, and you know, he buys it, like, he calls DirecTV and they can just charge him in his card or whatever, like the one-time fee or whatever it is. And you know, for his dad, it's easy because he's already got DirecTV. Like, he just flipped the channels; it's easy to find. On Apple Plus, for his, you know, the legend Mucho Morales, he says that, you know, maybe that could be a little more challenging because, you know, older folks don't stream the same way like that we do, you know?
Well, I'm a little worried about this as well. Now, let me ask a question. Apple TV, is there a distinction between Apple TV and Apple Plus?
Well, Apple Plus is where you find, like, Ted Lasso.
Okay, because I never knew that Apple Plus was a thing. I just thought I was going on to Apple TV and there was Ted Lasso. Now, your point is a good point, George, I believe, because if you're an older person, when I say older, I don't mean like, you know, 95 years old. I mean like 45, 50, 55, 60. If you're not accustomed to streaming, or maybe you don't even have an Apple TV, or maybe you haven't even upgraded to a smart TV. I mean, if you bought a TV in the last 3 to 5 years, you probably have a smart TV.
You'll have all the apps and stuff, right?
But even if you have them, but you don't use them,
right?
Okay, now all of a sudden this whole thing can become a major headache. Now, I have Apple TV, both the external, where you plug it into the TV,
right,
and HDMI cable, and
yeah,
I also have smart TVs. But I will admit that I was having a really hard time trying to find my Apple ID password.
Right,
so then
I
changed
this.
My Apple ID password.
Yeah.
And then I went to try and use Apple ID because Laura has said to me many times, how could you not have finished Ted Lasso?
Right.
And on one hand, I say to her, well, it's because Ted Lasso started seeing a shrink and that storyline didn't really resonate with me. It's kind of seemed like, you know, the Sopranos or whatever. And that's kind of an excuse if I'm being honest about it.
Yeah, it's totally an excuse.
Because I just haven't been, and I'm paying for Apple TV in some way,
right,
and yet I can't seem to get it to work. So if you're telling me that I need Apple TV or Apple TV Plus for a couple of things, the Magic Johnson doc that's coming out, and now for a Sunday Ticket, I got to get this Apple TV thing figured out. Otherwise, George, I'm going to be exactly what you're saying. I'm going to be some old guy who can't figure out how to stream.
Right.
Yeah. You're there already.
I mean, you're halfway there. Basically.
Halfway, because Laura, just so you know,
mm-hmm,
I do have HBO Max, which is how I'm watching Winning Time.
Okay.
And
you are
and. You'll be impressed with this.
Uh-huh.
And I have YouTube TV,
okay,
which I don't pay for, using my girlfriend's account.
Got it. Okay.
You're one of those.
Yeah, I'm using her account.
Now, do you barter with your passwords? Like, you give one of your passwords out for another password for
that's
app?
That's a good question.
Oh, that's a good idea.
No, mostly because I don't know any of my passwords. So once I've set them up, it's like it's on for good.
Right, and you just never change it. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right,
you can, like, if you do it on your phone, it saves everything and just...
Yeah.
Where does it save everything?
You don't know that?
I just
it
figured out how to...
passwords, and then you just... Cap, when you're up here, Cap, we got to have a conversation.
I mean, I just figured out how to put my vaccination card in my wallet.
Wow.
Seriously.
Like, hold on, like, you mean in, like, your phone wallet?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, your actual wallet. That's kind of easy. You just put the card in your wallet.
No. This is my... But this whole Apple TV thing, so you're telling me that going forward, that DirecTV has lost the Sunday ticket thing? Or is it just the
Red
Zone?
Well, it's on the brink, according to reports, to go to Apple.
Got it.
Because Apple's willing to overpay, because they can, because they're worth a gajillion dollars.
Right.
They pay very well.
Right. I got to figure this out. I'm going to try tonight to go into my smart TV. I'm going to watch the Dodger game. There's NBA playoff games. I was just watching the USFL game that was postponed due to weather.
Oh, my God. You're watching. I mean, you're really watching USFL?
Did you happen to see this weekend
that
for the USFL's opening game?
No.
That between Fox and NBC, they said they had over 3.5 million viewers.
What did I tell you would happen, though? Talk to me in like a month and tell me where that number is.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be very high because I'll tell you this. On the first night, there was a packed house in Birmingham. I don't know why they're housing all these games in Birmingham. And then
to save money.
Yeah, no, I get it. But wouldn't it be better if like you moved the league and you said, look, we're going to play every game in Vegas where there's actually people, or L.A. where there's people. Birmingham.
No, because that costs a lot of money.
Yeah. Are there any people in Birmingham?
I mean, there are people in Birmingham, yes.
But not a lot. I mean, to draw from.
Not like Vegas or L.A., certainly not, no.
Right. So, yeah, But tonight, I want to watch the Dodger game. There's some NBA playoff games that I think I probably want to keep my eye on a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely watching that Warriors game. I mean, I'm watching Dallas and Utah right now, but.
Yeah, I was watching Philadelphia and Toronto earlier. And, yeah, the Denver-Golden State game tonight is kind of at the, it's at the exact same time as the Dodger game. So I got a lot of stuff I want to watch tonight. Now I got to sit here and start messing with Apple TV again.
I'm just telling you, be ready is what I'm saying.
I know, and I appreciate that.
Hey, guys, you know what just dropped on HBO Max today?
Tell me.
The Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the new Batman.
No way.
Yeah, just dropped on HBO Max.
I have a question. Do you have to pay additional, or if you have HBO
Max? No, you have HBO
Max,
you can watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Now it's time. That's it. You can watch it for free.
All right, now this is going to screw me up because I only have HBO Max on my TV in my bedroom. And now I'm going to have to try and put HBO Max on my TV in my family room.
Wait a second. How hard can that be, bro?
I don't know. It sounds complicated to me.
Do you have a smart TV in your living room?
I do.
Easy.
Then just download HBO Max.
Download the little widget.
I know. And I did it in my bedroom. And I told you guys, I felt like so cool, man. Like I was able to. Remember, I took one of those Fire Sticks. I ordered it. I got it delivered.
Laura says no TV in the bedroom. I disagree with that. I have a TV in the bedroom.
Wait, I took it out. Nope.
Me three. Got one.
What are you talking about?
No.
Laura, you're a single lady. You live alone.
Exactly. So it's on my TV. Obviously, when I lived with my mom, I had it in my room. So it had to be there. But now I'm like, it's in the living room. Because if you go into my room, there's only one reason you're going in my room. And we're not going to watch TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the living room.
Oh, my.
I mean, thirst trapping.
Yeah. Out there.
Your girl just straightened her hair.
I mean, jeez.
Your girl's going to be
that
out.
That isn't a thirst trap. I don't know what is.
I'm just saying there's no reason to have a TV in the bedroom when you have it in the living room. Just saying.
Well, I have a TV in the bedroom. And
11-11, make a wish.
Hey, now.
No.
I felt so cool. I ordered a Fire Stick. I had it delivered. I installed it. And then, beyond just installation, then I was able to download the HBO Max app and watch Winning Time.
By the way, I love how you think these are like these huge accomplishments.
Oh, George, this is like a whole big deal.
Yeah,
you know. So now I got to try and get HBO Max on my TV downstairs so I can watch the Batman.
Yeah, the Batman will be good. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you believe in curses?
Very much so.
Okay, because I normally don't believe in that stuff. That's like mumbo jumbo to me. And although I have a healthy respect for like that type of stuff because I grew up in a community that respects it, let's just say. But the Clipper curse may be real, man. When I saw Paul George got COVID, I was like, are you serious? Like, what is happening here? And then they were getting killed in that game. They were getting crushed in that game. And then they come back and they have like a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter. I fell asleep. I was I was doing the spring game the next day. So I fell asleep because I had to wake up early. I was tired from a long day of travel. And I took a melatonin. And I fell asleep. I woke up the next day, didn't even think to check because I'm like, oh, the Clippers won. And I'm like, oh, I'll have a home game in L.A. next week, you know, because it'll be game 3 or 4. In L.A. And in the afternoon, somebody brought it up to me while I was at the stadium doing the spring game for the Hurricanes. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, bro, they lost. And I'm like, I said, no way, bro. I looked at my app and I'm like, that's crazy to me. And then I went back and watched the highlights and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, some franchises, and listen, I know that there are Clipper fans who listen to the Lakers station, 710, and they get all bent out of shape when they get clowned and ridiculed on these airwaves. I'm not here to do that, but I am here to tell you this. The Clippers are cursed, and you say to me, no, they're not. What are you talking about? Listen, you can change the owner. You can change the coach. You can change the personnel. You can eventually change the building. You can change the city that the team plays in. You tell me, what has this franchise ever accomplished? Even when they've got the better players, they've got the better front office, they've got the best coach, because you talk to LeBron, Ty Lue's the best coach in basketball.
He's one of them.
And they've got everything you need, and yet somehow, some way, this kind of stuff happens. Every single year, it seems.
It was insane to me. Like, if you would have told me in September that there would be no chance that I would be doing a playoff game in Los Angeles,
I know,
come
right?
April, May, or June, I would have said, you've lost your damn mind. And here we are. Crypto.com Arena is going to be dark during the playoffs. It's crazy to me. It's mind-boggling, to be honest with you. All right, we're done here. Tomorrow you'll sing Elvis Crespo. We'll give you the lyrics, okay?
All right, cool.
All right, great job, Cap. Excellent work as always.
Hey, outstanding job. And Funch, way to fill in, dude.
Yeah, great job, Funchy, and great job, Lauda. Lauda's going to be heading to the Dodger game.
Have fun, girl. Straight hair and all.
Straighten her hair. Maybe thirst trapping, maybe not. Mm. But you did learn that if you're going into her bedroom, you're not watching TV.
Facts.
Straight facts.
Hashtag facts. All right, we're done here. You guys have a great night. We'll talk to you mañana. See you.